But let's carry on with the book of Daniel. Last week we saw how Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. We have conjectured this statue of gold to be none other than an egoistic projection of Nebuchadnezzar himself, demanding worship of his subjects. This is a foreshadowing of the world dictator of the end times, the Antichrist, also called that man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. It is interesting to note that the end time world dictator, the Antichrist, will also make an image of himself to be worshipped. Somewhat like Nebuchadnezzar, the Antichrist will set up an image of himself in the tribulation, called in Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, the image of the beast. It is said in the verse that the image is given life and can speak through the TV, assuredly. And those who refuse to worship this living and speaking image of the beast would be put to death. It is also significant that Nebuchadnezzar's image measures 60 by 6 cubits, which resembles the 666 of the beast in Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. 6 is the number of man, and a double or triple of 6 bespeaks man's exaltation of himself. Nebuchadnezzar had achieved his purpose in the promotion of his personality cult. All the peoples under his realm, being worshippers of idols and of every kind of god, there was no reason why they might not include the cult of emperor worship. The difficulty suddenly arises when it is observed that 3 highest ranking officers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refuse to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. How can a poor soul, condemned to be burned, conquer the brutish power that tries to snuff it out? Shakespeare says, "He who is afraid to die has died 100 deaths." But Jesus our Lord, who conquered death by dying in our stead, gives a more positive answer. "And fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. That was the soaring spirit, the indomitable courage God gave to the 3 Hebrew boys. The situation was now at the point when Nebuchadnezzar must act to preserve his authority. He must punish such defiance. But God is pleased to intervene. Roman numeral 1, the deliverance from the furnace. The deliverance from the furnace. And letter A, the anger of the king. The anger of the king. Verses 19 to 23 reads, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Again, Nebuchadnezzar lost his temper when the three Jews deliberately rejected his offer to reconsider their actions and bow to his image. Verse 19. The king commanded his men to heat the furnace 7 times hotter, probably by adding more fuel and draft. He assigned the mightiest men of his army to bind them, to make sure they did it right, and to impress the onlookers with the grave significance of the occasion. The Jewish men were fully clothed with flammable clothing and securely bound so that they would not be able to walk. There could be no escape. The king's passionate anger led to the death of his best soldiers, for a blast of heat killed them after they had thrown the three men into the furnace. Under normal circumstances, it would also have made the deaths of those for whom it was intended much less painful. Letter B, the astonishment of the king. The astonishment of the king. Verses 24 to 27 reads, Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were the coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. The king assumed that his problem with the rebels was over. What he saw in the fires, however, was anything but what he expected. There were 4, not 3 persons. They were loosed, not bound. They were walking, not lying in the fire. They were all unhurt by the fire. The 4th person was very likely a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Although Nebuchadnezzar surely did not understand the significance of that at this point. When the king called the men from the furnace, it was an admission of defeat. Their God had delivered them from his hand. Careful examination showed that the 3 men were totally unaffected by the fire. Their bodies were not blistered, their hair was not singed, their clothes were not burned, nor was there even the smell of smoke on them. The king's chief counselors witnessed the events and certified the results of the examination. The king's plan completely backfired. Those royal executioners who threw Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego into the furnace were themselves burned to death. Those who were supposed to perish in the flames remained intact. Only the ropes or chains that bound them were burnt away. And so we have Roman numeral 2, the decree of the king. The decree of the king. And letter A, recognition of God. Recognition of God. When the 3 Hebrew boys walked out of the furnace with not 1 hair of the head singed, then came a 2nd confession from Nebuchadnezzar, after that to Daniel. Verses 28 to 29 reads, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Nebuchadnezzar displayed moral character as a result of witnessing God's delivering power. Although still a pagan, he was willing to acknowledge that the God of the Jews defeated him. Nebuchadnezzar recognized that God is personal, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that God is protective, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and that God is powerful. No other God can deliver after this sort. If anyone spoke anything amiss against God, his body will be destroyed and his house will be made a dunghill. No one would have doubted that the king was serious about this decree after watching him carry out the punishment for not bowing to his image. What do observers learn about God when his people stand up for him in the face of pressure to compromise their faith? They will learn that God is worthy of obedience. God takes the obedience of his own seriously. The rewards God gives to those who obey are greater than any earthly consequence of standing up for the Lord. And lastly, we have letter B, rewarding of the Hebrews. Rewarding of the Hebrews. A bus driver and a pastor were standing in line in front of the judgment seat of Christ. The bus driver approached the seat and Jesus said, "Welcome, I understand you are a bus driver. Since I'm in charge of preparing mansions, I believe I found the perfect place for you. See that mansion over the hilltop? It's yours." The pastor heard all this and began to stand a little taller. He thought to himself, if a bus driver got a place like that, just think what I'll get. The pastor approached the judgment seat and Jesus said, "Welcome. I understand you are a pastor. See that shack in the valley?" Jesus had hardly gotten the words out of his mouth when the irate pastor said, "I was a pastor. I preached the gospel. I helped teach people about God. Why does that bus driver get a mansion and I get a shack?" Sadly, Jesus responded, "Well, it seems that when you preached, people slept. When the bus driver drove, people prayed." Just as Christ rewarded the bus driver, Nebuchadnezzar rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 30 reads, "Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." The king did not keep a grudge. In fact, he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They dared to trust their God in the face of certain death, even when they had no guarantee that they wouldn't die. Such solid faith was not evident in any other of the king's men. The king was more impressed with their character than he was disgusted with their disobedience. The deliverance from the furnace and the decree of the king. There is an English saying, "He who laughs last, laughs best." God has chosen to preserve his children from certain death to show forth his own power. But whether Daniel's three friends had perished in the flames or not, the passing of their test was not so much in the deliverance from Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace as in the act of refusing to bow to the forces of evil. Without moral courage, neither can the body qualify for preservation. Daniel's three friends had passed the test of their faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." When have you stood up for the Lord and experienced God's blessings as a result? A true story is said of a local pastor who, when young, was challenged to stand firm and straight in compelling circumstances. For at the beginning of the Japanese occupation of Singapore, all former British government servants were recalled, and those who were recalled were assembled on a certain day to hear a lecture from a high-ranking military officer. When this officer had concluded his speech under a gigantic red rising sun flag, a loud and powerful voice called to the whole assembly of 1,000 former British civil servants, "Kyoju Yohai Saikere," meaning, "Bow down most respectfully to the Japanese Imperial Palace." Fearing the sword of the Japanese, the young would-be pastor bowed with the whole crowd. He tried to excuse himself, but lo and behold, a young Eurasian girl who stood next to him remained ramrod straight. His conscience was sorely stricken. By God's mercies, that faithful Eurasian lady was not detected. "For them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. When have you stood up for the Lord and experienced God's blessings as a result? But we must also be content to commit ourselves to God's will for our lives. God might not deliver us when we stand up for Him. We must realize this fact by saying, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "He will deliver us, but if not." During Japan's occupation of Korea, 1905 to 1945, the Imperial Japanese government subjugated all Korean school children from kindergarten to university to bow to Shinto shrines and to the Japanese Imperial Palace, whose occupant, the Emperor of Japan, was declared to be the Son of Heaven. This was spiritual colonization. Many Christians involved capitulated, but there were also those who stood firm. For not bowing to the Japanese power, many were thrown into jail. One outstanding one among the high school students was Miss Ahn Ai-suk. She refused to bow. For her unwavering stand, she was arrested and imprisoned, and would have been executed if not for Japan's surrender at the end of World War II. The so-called recognition of the Communist Party-controlled three South churches in China today, and the persecution of unregistered house churches in China, is another reflection of emperor worship. Those who refuse to conform and are caught are imprisoned, and some even sentenced to death. For refusing to bow to the three South churches, one was sentenced to life imprisonment. At the end of 23 years, with the passing of Mao Zedong, he was released. Another suffered for 2 decades in concentration camp. So my question to you today, church, is, can we at Heritage Baptist Church stand should an evil day befall us? Can we of Heritage Baptist Church stand should an evil day befall us? In closing, let's all rise to stand. Let's all rise to stand. Let's all rise to sing. I'm not going to ask you to stand on chairs, okay? Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift up, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer lost.